position. From blood, gotta run for one shot.
To the head of Babylon,
two sides.
One them a war,
three strikes.
Two minutes of position.
From blood,
gotta run for
Babylon.
And we chopping, yeah, we chopping, yeah, we chopping off the hydra. Yeah, we chopping, yeah, we chopping, yeah, we chopping off the hydra.
I delve into my inner world, the outer world is ugly. All the answers are within, just gotta do all of this properly. I follow truth, I follow love, and I'll fight anything opposite. Corruption, corruption, while the left and right are squabbling. So build motion, while I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building emotion, while I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building the motion. Building the motion. Well, I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building the motion. Building the motion. Well, I'm building up emotion. Yeah, I'm building up, building up. One shot for the leader. Two slaps for the fool. And we chopping, yeah, we chopping, yeah, we chopping up the high. Jumping up the hydra.
Up the line, up the line. Rue and Owen, we're back from seeing Racing Mount Pleasant. We've got a lot of thoughts on that show.
Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of just going to present the band to you and how the show was and everything that's kind of going on with them. So to paint a picture, this is this was, I think, their biggest headline show so far. So they played at the Garrison in Toronto. We'd say like 400 people or so.
It was pretty packed.
And very sold out.
Yeah.
Early sold out
and
show.
And everyone was squished up to the front. And it was one of the hottest shows I've been to in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Just saying something.
On, I think, the coldest day we've had this year.
Yeah. It was like minus 21, 22 outside.
Mm-hmm. So it was a show of contrast, I think, already. But to set the scene a bit, we have seen them before. And we saw them at a pretty important show as
mm-hmm.
well. Because we saw them last fall opening for Geese.
Opening for Geese last October, yeah.
Which is a very talked about show, not just on this show, but like in general in Toronto.
Yeah.
Out there, this tour was very talked about. And Racing Mount Pleasant opened at quite a few dates for them.
Yeah.
So
they were on most of that first leg, I think.
Most of them, yeah. I think it was only like in Europe that they had Dove Ellis and a couple of other people in a few other places.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it was Racing Mount Pleasant.
All Racing Mount Pleasant, yeah.
So they're kind of, they got a little bit of the sort of the Geese elevation.
They entered the Geese sphere, as
mm-hmm.
it were, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And like you were saying last time we spoke about that show, they were kind of the perfect band to open Geese.
Oh, yeah.
Because to my ears, at least, they're a band that falls somewhere between like a bit of Black Country New Road, a little bit of Broken Social Scene. But as we were talking about yesterday, it also kind of has a little bit of an indie rock drift to it.
Yeah.
Where I feel like they could follow the footsteps of bands like The Mountain Goats or Car Seat Headrest, bands like that, and just be that kind of lyrical band where it's a little bit academic, it's a little bit, I'm looking for a better word than like kind of nerdy. Or like,
but you might not find one. Like that's pretty accurate. I think they all met in university. They're all like definitely like academically learned,
mm-hmm.
and I think that does kind of come through even in like the instrumentation a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, they're clearly very good instrumentalists. Clearly,
oh my God.
Very good.
They
writers.
Were switching instruments every couple minutes. There were moments where like there was a guitar in one hand and there was a trumpet in the other. And I found it very difficult to look away in those moments.
They're a 7-piece band from Michigan.
Yeah.
And they have a violinist who is also sometimes a guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
They've got a trumpet player who also plays a bit of bass and plays the guitar. The guitarist is also their main lead vocalist. They have one dedicated saxophonist, a second sax player who's also doing a little bit on the side on the keys on some songs.
Yeah.
Their bassist, who's like the main bassist of the band, and their drummer. So
and a bunch of them are doing backing vocals on top of that.
Too, yes. And very kind of tapped in band.
Oh,
they
know
what they're doing. They've like, when you kind of watch them doing stuff and the way they're doing like these songs, which are in odd time signatures, or like time signatures that change every couple of bars, every couple of beats and stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't even need to look at each other. They're so locked in, they're so practiced, they're so like, they make it look effortless, which I think is what a good, they always say that a good jazz band makes something really difficult look really,
really
easy. Effortless.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to highlight in particular their drummer, because you know, I knew that she was good, I knew that she did some backing vocals, and that, you know, I was pretty impressed at Geese, but they played Emily. And I love that song. They played that song like only like, it was like their second song of the set, maybe third, like early on. And I was just floored with how technical and how complicated the drums in that song are. Even when that song is slow, even when the rest of them are like sort of slowly creeping up to this big, you know, it builds to this big climax and then the whole song explodes. But even before that, she's doing some crazy work back there.
Mm-hmm.
I was seriously impressed.
Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show you how in sync they are, like with each other. But also with the audience, like it's not very easy to get like an audience to be kind of tapping along to a 7-8 time signature kind of a song.
Yeah.
But everyone was in there. And this is, again, like, it felt a bit like a home crowd,
mm-hmm.
with the way people were so familiar with them.
They are, I mean, they're not from that far away, you know?
It's true. And the last
like
time that they played
away from
as
home,
well,
maybe. Yeah.
Last time they played as well, they had a lot of people who, I think, come down from Montreal who were maybe friends
and
family.
There were lots of people there for Racing Mount Pleasant at the Geese show. I was seriously impressed. I had heard them already. I heard the album when it came out back in August.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting a lot of buzz from the circles that I tend to listen to, and I was seriously impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was also just nice to see that many people excited about an opener, because Lord knows that doesn't happen here very often.
It happened this time as well.
Yeah.
Because their opener was Charlie Martin, this kind of Texan singer-songwriter guy.
Mm-hmm.
From very far away. He said it was his first time performing in Long John, so I imagine it's maybe his first time playing
in Canada. Well, he plays in Howdy, too. Howdy with two Vs. like the Always thing.
Mm-hmm.
Presumably this is his first time playing in the dead of winter.
Possibly, possibly. But still, it was like it was a home crowd, because the second he came on, you know, with openers, sometimes it takes people some time to warm up to them and stuff.
They would be an amazing band for a house show if you could find a house that was big enough.
Racing Mount Pleasant. Yeah, they remind me a little bit of Busty and the Bass in that way,
mm-hmm.
where it was like those guys as well. I think they were music students.
Yeah.
So they had like the academic thing going on one side.
Yeah.
But doing Busty and the Bass was kind of their fun, kind of their party music.
Yeah.
Like they'd all get together, 10 people on a stage or whatever, and they'd just be like playing this music for fun, and I get that sense from Racing Mount Pleasant as well.
Yeah.
Like, they're also the sort of band that clearly just started playing because they really enjoyed doing that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they were also music students, but, like, they also were.
I think they came from a variety of backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was very excited to tell me that multiple of them were photographers.
Okay.
But we couldn't figure out which ones were. So, if in the very slim chance that Racing Mount Pleasant hears about us talking about them, I would love to know which ones of yous, the grammar is getting away from me. I would love to know who in Racing Mount Pleasant are photographers, because as we know, that is my passion, my line of work.
Yeah. Again, I should say your pictures, which I've seen the negatives often, they're really good. They'll be up whenever this comes out.
Thank you.
But let's also talk about the way it felt a bit like this string of contradictions. Like, you've got oppressively hot room on seriously cold day.
Oh my god, I could see the sweat on the foreheads. It was intense.
Their jackets were maybe off, like they tried to keep it all nice and like came out wearing jackets and jumpers and stuff, and they were off.
They were like, taking it off,
for the sake of our audience. Sweaters, I mean, sweaters were off within 2 minutes song.
They'll pick it up. Don't worry. I mean, and they were, a lot of them were talking about how they had lined jeans on. Or flannel jeans. And so did I. And you know, this is the first time someone's fainted at a show, and I've been like, oh yeah, like that makes sense. I'm not surprised by this. It's like, oh my god, it's like a sauna in here. At one point I went to the bathroom so I could drink out of the sink like a horse.
It was a very warm show.
Yeah.
But I feel like there were also these like opposite ends of the spectrum in their own music. Like, they had parts where it's really like slow and building and really like contemplative and beautiful, and then they have these little bursts, and I always just notice how excited they would be for the build-up, build-up, and then they have this moment where they all kind of look at each other and just bam, and you can just see the joy on their faces.
It's funny, because I kind of think the Black Country New Road comparisons are like kind of low-hanging fruit, because it's like really obvious, but I think they're gonna have like a reverse Black Country New Road trajectory where they're gonna get heavier.
I wouldn't mind that.
I wouldn't mind that either. I listened to their first album on my way home from the show, and it was like a little bit heavier.
To me, the first album felt a little bit more kind of spacey.
Yeah. Well, there were more of them, I was reading. They had 11 when they recorded that
album.
Which is just, that's like an orchestra.
I can see how it would get difficult to tour when you're 11 people.
Yes.
But it felt like, I don't know, like, not to say anything about previous members, because I don't actually know anything about that, but it kind of feels like musically they trimmed the fat a little bit. Like, the songs on the second album feel like songs.
That album, like, blows by, too. Like, it goes by so quick.
Oh, yeah. Like, I was listening to it on the streetcar in. And, you know, you can't sometimes tell where one song ends and the other one begins.
Yes, and sometimes they do that very deliberately, right?
Yeah.
I want to shout out in particular you. And You Part Two is easily my favorite song of theirs. And that one and Emily, they did such an amazing performance of yesterday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That second album of theirs, I feel, is where they really came into it as songwriters. Like, I think there's more kind of lyrical themes and stuff on the album as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's more of, not to call it a pop album, but like in comparison,
there's pop sensibilities to it. Yeah.
Their songwriting structure on it a little bit
definitely
more.
Closer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where I feel like the indie rock side of things maybe comes in. Like I was saying, that they could sound a little bit like the Mountain Goats or like Cussie Tetris or maybe even the National.
They've got a bit of like an anthemic quality to them. Yeah, mm-hmm. it was really quite beautiful to see people singing along as much as they were when the songs are sort of slow and spacey. Like you don't hear that very often. That's usually when you lose people in the crowd, and there was still quite a bit of it happening around me.
Yeah, like they had sing-along anthems, which I think worked really well when you're in that room. You've got these people with so much energy going. Like we talk often about how the set lists build and things like that. And I think what was the song just before the encore? I think they did the title track.
Title track was so energetic.
Raising Mount Pleasant, I think, was one of the highlights of their whole set.
It was amazing.
Because again, it's
I
one
love
of those
that they
things.
All sing on that one.
Yeah,
it's just such a beautiful climactic moment.
Yeah, and it brings everyone in, right? Yeah. Like all of a sudden, everyone's paying attention. The crowd is singing along as well. You get to that moment and then the energy just bursts from there.
Yeah.
And then they still have the encore set coming after that. So it's like people are so ready for that.
It was beautiful. It was
anthemic.
Great. I'd love to see them a third time.
Yeah, totally. What do we think is happening next for them? Because you said that
they played a couple new songs. They mentioned one in particular that was like a little messier and it kind of ended very abruptly. I thought that was quite cool. Even looking at like the set list from the previous nights, there was lots of like unknown on the set list, and that's exciting. It's nice. I always appreciate when a young band is prolific and they still have that drive to just put out album after album after album.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no shame to people who take their time. You know, it'll be out when it's out. You know, it's ready when it's ready. But you know, I have a real soft spot for that drive to just like. Go.
Do it while you still have something.
Especially
to
when
say.
There's so many of you. I can't imagine that like scheduling is very easy.
Yeah, and I feel like the minute people start having side projects, things will start to
It's
go
Jover,
straight.
Yeah. Look at the Strokes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a billion side projects. What do you think is coming next for them? You think they might go heavier?
I think they're gonna go heavier. I would love for them to go heavier. I also have a tendency to say that about everybody I like, but especially these guys. I would love to hear kind of more of like a not that I want them to sound like Slint, you know, we're not, let's beat the Black Country New Road allegations a little bit, but I'd like to just see that sort of like that loud chaos that we got last night. I'd like to see that really kind of cranked up a bit.
Yeah, it feels like they're still like restrained in some ways, still a bit controlled. And the moments when they really let go were kind of the best parts
of
the show.
Were so beautiful, yeah.
So I feel like live especially, you'd love to see more of that. But on the other side of things, I would love to see them do a film soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, yeah.
Get them on a Netflix film soundtrack.
Yeah.
Indie film of some sort.
Let's just agree that they should be allowed to do whatever they want.
Oh, yeah. 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 They should just be given the film and told, do what you like. And they'll basically write a whole album.
Do some art house stuff, guys.
Yeah.
We're ready for it.
Mm-hmm.
We're ready
That's
for it.
That's what we want to see. Do your plugs.
You can find my work on Instagram at Owen Reese Forbes. And the O in Forbes is a zero. That's me.
Okay, yeah. Look out for those pictures. And we'll catch up at another show.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's play Racing Mount Pleasant, the song itself, because I feel like that was one of the highlights.
So this is Racing Mount Pleasant by Racing Mount Pleasant from the album Racing Mount Pleasant.
Pleasant from Racing Mount Pleasant, the album by the band Racing Mount Pleasant. That was an incredible show that we saw this Tuesday when Racing Mount Pleasant were in town. Just played a lovely hour-long set of some incredible, very inspired music. And thanks so much to Owen for joining us on the show. You're going to be seeing his photography from this show. I'll put it up on the Yellow Brick Road Instagram in just a little while. So look out for that on Tuesday when I usually post about the show. Just check on our Yellow Brick Road Instagram account. That's just at Yellow Brick Road. And that's also where you can reach out to me for anything you'd like to know or request or whatever it might be. And you can also write this show on email. It's yellowbrickroad@gmail.com. Folks, I'm going to leave us with some new Canadian music and just a little bit of, you know, what's going on. So, like I said, I saw Shame last week on Friday, and I also got pulled into seeing another show right after that. So straight from Shame, we went down to the Rivoli and caught, again, one of the Exclaim showcases that's been happening over this month that I've really been enjoying. We saw a band called Connie, who are sort of a post-punk, punkier band from Toronto, and they have a new single out called Magazine, which I'm going to be playing us, so you can find it at connieband.bandcamp.com. But also, there's been a new collaboration of sorts between Courtney Barnett, the Australian singer-songwriter musician who's teamed up with Waxahachie, sort of Canadian indie songwriter musician who's also been working with MJ Lenderman on a sort of one-off project recently. They've got a new single out called Sight Unseen, which is going to be on Courtney Barnett's upcoming album Creature of Habit. You can find it all at courtneybarnett.bandcamp.com. That's the first song we're going to be playing us, and that's what I'm going to leave you with tonight on the show. So I hope you've enjoyed it. I will see you all next week. Let's start off with Courtney Barnett, Waxahachie. This is Sight Unseen. See you next week. Goodbye.
considerness. You can see your numbers go back up.
Welcome to the Release Radar Rundown right here on CFRC 101.9 FM in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. I'm Dinah Jansen. It is now 11:30 right here in snowy Kingston, Ontario, but we're heating things up for you today. Take a break from the shoveling and all that plowing and dive right in. In this episode, we're featuring a conversation with members of local punk band RevZ about their debut release, Welcome to the Real World. With influences such as Rage Against the Machine, the Ramones, and Deep Purple, the new record's themes, as the band describes, include narcissism and a protest against artificial intelligence. We're going to listen to all four tracks from the new RevZ EP today, but before that, we are sitting down with RevZ bandmates Jack Blurton and Callan Robinson to chat about the new release. Welcome to CFRC's Release Radar Rundown. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, we're really happy to be here.
Great to be here.
Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Callan. All right. Yeah, it's amazing that you're here and on such short notice, too. Really fantastic. So you guys have been really busy as a band, I notice. Like, you're all over the place on social media and you're all over the place right here in town. You've been playing lots of gigs through 2024, 2025 at many, many local venues. Can you tell us a little bit about how you came to be the face-melting punk rock band that you are? Jack, we'll start with you.
So I would say that we played our first show in October of 2023. That was a Battle of the Bands that was hosted by the Queen's Music Club. And I was invited to start jamming with the original lineup, which was, a couple of friends that I met in first year who were all in the Con Ed program. They invited me to start jamming as their singer. Shortly after that, Haluka, who was our drummer for our first show, he ended up switching to guitar so that I could take over the drums, so that I could do drums and vocals. So the original lineup lasted for about a year and a half before we changed some things up by inviting Callan into the band to play keyboards. And our original bassist, JP, eventually left. He was replaced in the fall by Max Hammer, and that's how the current lineup stands. Andrew Nasso also plays guitar. I feel a little bad for not mentioning him in there, but yes.
Amazing. So, Callan, you're here with us today. Tell us about your interest in joining the squad.
Yeah, I mean, I was able to bear witness to their first show with the original lineup in October 2023. And I thought they were incredible. I was playing with a different group at the time. but I was definitely like blown away by the sort of bombastic energy and quick pace of the set. And I wasn't exactly sure what kind of energy I was going to be able to bring to the group as someone who primarily plays keyboard. But Jack sure seemed to think that I had something to contribute after sort of jamming with me a few times. You know, it took some sort of experimentation to figure out my role to play in the group. But I feel like with this EP, it showcases our ability to synthesize punk rock, sort of more traditional style punk rock with keyboards. And it's so much fun to be able to experiment in that way.
All right, so let's pick up right there, Callan. So I'd love to hear more about the songwriting, composition, and rehearsal process. So bringing in keys is not something we generally hear when it comes to straight up raw as heck punk rock. Let's break it down a little bit more to learn about the process of how you did the songwriting together and the compositions.
Yeah, so I had been writing most of the songs. I wrote a lot of the songs, including the ones on the EP were written before the band had started. And so over the course of the couple of years that we've been going, we've been slowly integrating more original music into the set. I've been sending demos that I recorded to the rest of the band. And the demos are, you know, much more simple or much simpler than the way that the songs end up turning out on the record and in live performances, because I basically just play bar chords like you would hear on any Ramones album. And then I say to the rest of the guys, do with this what you like, improvise, experiment, make it your own, I think is really what I want every member of the band to do. And I always wanted to incorporate keys into the music because a lot of bands that I'm into have a keyboard. I am a big fan of electronic music as well as punk, so I wanted to sort of diversify the influences a little bit. And I don't think I really had, I had a eureka moment when I listened to the first Deep Purple album, or when I listened to a Deep Purple album for the first time. It was Machine Head that I listened to. When I listened to that a couple of years ago now, I was sort of like, aha, that's what I want the keys in this band to sound like. And when we introduced Callan into the band, you know, really the same sort of story where we just, I send the demos out to him and say, you know, I have no idea how to play keys. You make of it what you like.
All right, guys. So we have a new EP to talk about now. Let's learn a little bit more about how the EP release actually came together and with whom did you work. Over to Callan.
Yeah, so I think Jack had been talking about having an EP out for this band for, I guess, a year now or so. But we didn't really begin recording until, was it November, Jack?
That's right, yeah.
And we recorded over at Open Session Studios over on Colburn Street with, Sam Fitzgerald?
Yes, that's yes.
And just making sure I have his last name right. And
yes,
no, he's so super. He's so good to work with. Like, he's got a real ear for all kinds of different rock music, and I think he had a really great idea of what we were going for. So couldn't be happier to work with him.
Okay, amazing. And now the Kingston Music Office's release radar note stated that the EP talks a lot about narcissism and AI as particular themes. Can you elaborate more, starting with you, Jack, on the overall themes of the album and maybe some of the individual songs?
Yeah, okay. So, overall theme just has a lot to do with encouraging people not to live life their own way, to, you know, not let narcissists tell them what to do. That I think is pretty well summed up by the second track on the album. It's All About Me, where I talk about an experience with a person who, you know, didn't treat me so well because they acted like I was, you know, being too harsh on them for, you know, that I sort of, you know, they were always trying to impose their worldviews onto me and their idea of how people should behave onto me. And I, you know, at some point I kind of snapped and showed some backlash to that, and they whined about it. They, you know, they had a tendency to act like, you know, the entire world was always against them. And that song is just about me telling them, you have no idea how much worse it could be. You need to learn to be more independent. You need to stop. You need to stop telling other people what to do. I'm not going to listen anymore when you tell me what to do. You're going to hear my name again is sort of similar in that vein, where I'm telling a person about how, you know, no matter how hard they try to put me down, I'm going to make sure that I make a real impact on this world. And then the closer is the telescreen, which is where the theme of AI becomes very prominent. That song's just about how, in spite of all that AI threatens to take away from us in the musicians community, there is so much that we can do to support each other and to, you know, live. You know, if other people want to spend all their time listening to slop and perpetuating slop, then they're allowed to do that in the world today, but we don't have to. As musicians, we don't have to be part of that. We can continue, you know, building the beautiful communities that are centered around real human-made art.
All right. Well, thank you. Very well laid out for us. And we are going to listen to all of those songs from the new EP in just a few moments. But before we close, because we are quickly running out of time and we want to make sure we have enough time to play all of the songs in full, maybe over to you, Callan. Can you tell us how we can keep up with the latest about Rev Z and how to follow you, get your album, see your shows?
Yeah, so I think the best way is just following us on Instagram. We post all of our shows, all of our, I guess, potentially new releases, although we don't have any planned, would be on the Instagram. That's RevZ Music, R-E-V-Z-E-D Music. Yeah, we're always up on there. So that's probably the main way.
Yeah.
Well, looking forward to seeing a lot more of you guys playing around town, maybe some local festivals, and hearing maybe a bit some mini tours in the region or something very soon too. But huge congratulations on this new release. It's a real pleasure to listen to, and we are going to listen to it in full right now. So any final words for the listeners out there here in K-Town?
Yeah, I would say that our next show might be at the Caesar Company on January 30th, unless we have a show prior to that. And welcome to the real world. That's how I want to sum it up.
Thanks, Jack. Callan?
How can I beat that? No, please. Thanks so much to anyone who listens to it. We really hope you enjoy. We put a lot of soul into it, and I think it comes off well.
Thank you so much for joining us, and we are going to dive right into some great music. It's been a real pleasure chatting with you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take it forward, driving hours in. tonight at this point. And my friends, neither can you. Science fiction's no longer as strange as what we call the truth. Promises of a utopia built upon teaching machines how to do tasks we thought were only possible in silver screen views. With machine and Mitch as an inspirator, Hollywood wants of the Terminator, but Skynet is ruled by someone, another iconic antagonist, Big Brother. He takes advantage of devices, recording your virtues and vices. An open secret, you'd better believe it. The truth, I choose to reveal it. The Taylor screen, and it's much greater than once foreseen. Not just in our bedrooms and on the street, once at the thigh of every human being. But how can I blame any of you for allowing this invasion of privacy? I surprise myself with how much I've shared with the virtual society of addicted technology. Some might deny it at this point, but my friends, it's easy to say they've stolen the endless data uploaded and trained machines to replace. They can replace my love for you. They only want a profit. They can place a value on this moment today. Don't delay. Scream with me without attention to pay. Watching you and robbing you. It's watching you and robbing you. Watching you and robbing you of time, energy, art, innocence. It's watching you.
Shut down! Shut down! Shut down!
And thanks to Jack and Callan of RevZed for joining us here today on the Release Radar Rundown. You've just heard Welcome to the Real World, It's All About Me. You're going to hear my name again and Telescreen from RevZed's debut EP, Welcome to the Real World. Thanks for joining us today on the Release Radar Rundown, brought to you in partnership with the Kingston Music Office. Stay tuned for Democracy Now! Coming up next, and stay tuned for more amazing local music made right here in Kingston and airing right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. I'm Dinah Jansen. We'll be back next week.